My name is Charlie Widmack. I'm the Executive Director of Above and Beyond Cancer. And the reason I'm excited about today is because today is a day about looking to the future. And I'm a person that perhaps is too much always looking in the future, and I'm excited about the opportunities that are to come. And so Dr. Deming asked me, before we start talking about the future today, to talk a little bit about where it is that we've been. And so Above and Beyond Cancer was born about a year ago, right now. And so as we look back over the course of the year, there's been a lot that has happened. And Above and Beyond Cancer was organized in order to elevate the lives of people whose lives have been touched by cancer. And one of the founding principles of the organization is that all of our lives have been touched by cancer. And I think all of us in this room are too familiar with the statistics that it's nearly 50% of men, more than a third of women, who will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. So we organized Above and Beyond Cancer to help improve our cancer communities and work to create positive change in those communities. Now, the organization was founded on the idea that a cancer diagnosis can actually be a good thing. And with this idea that there may be a silver lining, that through a cancer journey, our values and our morals can be tested, and we can learn new things about ourselves. And that through that experience, maybe we can be surprised about a few things. So we organized the Above and Beyond Cancer based on this notion of life beginning again. And so the first thing we did was we began organizing transformational field programs that would be opportunities for cancer survivors and their loved ones to go out into the field and have an experience that may transform their life and enrich it and fill it with more fulfillment and meaning than it had been before. And as we did that, we recognized that these journeys, these field expeditions, but also these cancer journeys really are family experiences, that the struggles that we have on our cancer journeys are things that we share with all of our family members. And so we took along literally thousands of prayer flags that acted as tributes and memorials to folks that couldn't be with us on these journeys. And we flew these all around the world on four expeditions, first in the Himalayas of Nepal, second on Mount Kilimanjaro in East Africa, during a 3,000-mile race across America, and finally this fall on an expedition on three Himalayan peaks. And as we went through these experiences, one thing we realized was that these stories had great significance. And Dr. Deming frequently says that the stories that grow from these expeditions enter a sacred space. And we found that to be true. And what we were surprised to find is that the meaning of these expeditions wasn't only significant for the people that had participated in them, but also for the people that had read about them and followed the stories and heard the stories through the press, through the newspapers, through the magazines and other publications that followed them. And through these experiences, many, many people were learning about the extraordinary individuals that had gone to complete these challenges in the face of great adversity and overcoming truly all odds. And so really what we did was we began to answer the phone. And very quickly we received invitations to tell these stories all around the country. We've told the stories at church picnics, in the basements of community centers. One of our ambassadors spoke to over 8,000 people in Central Park. We've now performed several hundred events, and we just crossed the line of speaking to more than 100,000 audience participants. So what we found is that the public is hungry for these stories of inspiration and looking for stories that are so filled with hope and so filled with determination. The next thing we did was we decided that we had to start advocating for change. We had become so inspired, but at the same time recognized that it was still unfortunate that these stories had to be told in the first place. Many of our participants had issues that involved specific government regulations that we thought needed to be changed. And so we partnered with the American Cancer Society, and we started performing lobbying activities. And we've done that now in a total of four states, working with the American Cancer Society through their Lobby Day activities to go in and promote and advocate for changes in our cancer communities. And I think this has been one of the days that's been the most fun for many of us, to feel like we actually have a role in this discussion in these cancer communities. At the same time, we recognize that in order to really improve this problem, we have to continue to be involved in fundraising. The issues that we face in the cancer community are not going to be resolved without a great deal of money. And we've worked with the American Cancer Society through Relay for Life and through Determination to help raise funds for cancer research. At the same time that we've been working domestically at home to fund new research programs, we've also been working internationally to help people who don't have the benefit of the services and hospitals that we have here in the U.S. So we've had partnerships both in Nepal and in Tanzania, working with big organizations such as hospitals in those areas, an orphanage in Tanzania, but also working with individuals that we meet along the way whose lives also have been touched by cancer. And so as we look back, it's been truly an extraordinary year. As you look at this, four expeditions, you know, literally hundreds of speaking events, hundreds of hours spent advocating, days and days devoted to fundraising and service and volunteerism. And it's hard to believe that we've done all that in the course of a year. And so as we look back, we're filled with a great deal of comfort of what it is that we've accomplished, but we're still filled with this excitement about what it is left for us to achieve and accomplish. And so next I'd like to introduce our founder, Dr. Richard Deming, who's the one that brought us on this journey and began this journey. Dr. Deming, of course, is the medical director here at the Mercy Cancer Center and our founder and chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being here. And what I love about talking about Above and Beyond Cancer is it's not talking about me. It's talking about cancer survivors. And there are many out here today. And they are the reason we're here. I've learned so much about medicine and taking care of patients from medical school and residency. But I have learned so much more about life from cancer patients and their families, and they are the reason we exist. In the United States this year, 1.6 million people will be diagnosed with cancer. 600,000 people will die of cancer. Back in the 1950s, if you said you were a cancer survivor, what that meant was that you were the surviving spouse of someone who died of cancer. That's what a cancer survivor was in the 1950s. Now, this year, there will be 14 million cancer survivors, people living above and beyond cancer, some with cancer, having been diagnosed with cancer but still living their life. What Above and Beyond Cancer does is obviously recognize that cancer is a significant issue. More people will die of cancer in the United States than any other disease. But there are 14 million cancer survivors. Cancer no longer has to be a death sentence. One can overcome cancer, and cancer can actually then be a springboard to teaching you so many things about life and allowing all of you to teach others so much about life. When Above and Beyond Cancer got started, it was a journey for cancer survivors to transform themselves. That didn't surprise me. What surprised me was how the transformation that the cancer survivors went through and their ability to tell their stories and bring others along with them transformed everyone who was able to hear that. And when we talk about the continuum of cancer care, we're talking not just about people who've been diagnosed with cancer that are undergoing treatment. We're talking about preventing cancer. In the United States, one-third of all cancers are caused by cigarette smoking, totally preventable. One-third of all cancers in the United States are caused by obesity and inactivity, totally preventable. So when we're going to address the continuum of cancer care, it's not just about those that have been diagnosed with cancer. It's about creating a lifestyle that will prevent cancers. It's about having a system of health care that allows everyone access to prevention services, early detection services, treatment services. It's about having a healthcare system that provides quality and compassionate care throughout the cancer journey, even if it ends up in hospice care and end of life. It's about advocating for public policy to create access. It's about advocating for more dollars to go to research. And that's why the American Cancer Society has always been one of our proudest relationships. We've learned so much from them, and to be able to partner with them on this journey. Above and Beyond Cancer got started as just one journey, but the inspiration that we learned from the cancer survivors on the journey that allowed us to inspire the public has created a groundswell of support, and we're so excited to talk about what the next step is going to be. So instead of me talking more about what Above and Beyond Cancer has done, let me turn it back over to Charlie, who's going to introduce you to Steve, who's going to tell you what the next big thing is that Above and Beyond Cancer is going to do. So, Charlie, back over to you.
So, Dr. Deming mentioned a moment ago this third of cancer that is preventable because it's based on inactivity and obesity. And so in this new year, Above and Beyond Cancer is shifting to a new initiative, which is going to focus to getting people out and exercising and expanding our community, hopefully from coast to coast. So the person we have brought on our team in order to do that is Steve Cannon. And many of you probably heard about Steve a couple of years ago when he became the first person actually to run across the state. He ran the Ragbri route, doing that to benefit the Livestrong organization. A couple of years after that, he decided to take it to the next step, and he did 40 marathons in 40 days, running the distance around Lake Michigan, raising awareness for a variety of cancer issues and raising a significant amount of money for the Livestrong organization. And so after he finished the run around Lake Michigan, he gave us a call, and he had a big idea, and it was an idea that immediately Dr. Deming and I both got very, very excited about and saw it as being a key ingredient to the future of Above and Beyond Cancer. Steve.
What an exciting day. I want to say, first of all, just thank you to everybody that is here. So many friends, cancer survivors that inspire us all, as Dr. Deming and Charlie have spoke about. If our live feed is up, then my mother and a lot of other people are watching. So thank you to them and also the media, because without you, we would just be talking and we wouldn't have the voice that you give us. So. People ask me, what do you think about when you run across the state of Iowa? And in 2009, because of the inspiration I was given through all of the cancer survivors and their family and support crew, I thought, this will be what I want to do with the rest of my life, is to try to give back to those people that have given the great gift to me, which is to appreciate life, family, loved ones, and every moment of every day. And so in that, I thought, if one person can run a few marathons in a row, raise a little money, what could happen if we could bring an entire country of runners together? I think we could make some great strides and make a big difference. And so in 2009, I had the idea for the $1 Million Marathon. It's come a long way since then, and with the help of these two people and this great organization, Above and Beyond Cancer, we now have the opportunity to turn this into reality. And so I would just say, follow your dreams and think big, because what you think becomes reality. And so this is our program. And in June 21st, which will be a Friday, we will start in Ocean City State Park in Washington. The journey will cover 3,850 miles, give or take. We'll cross 15 states. We will end up with 160 runners, each running a marathon, one after the other, each with their own cancer story. Many of them will be cancer survivors. Some of them will be people that are actively in treatment. Some of them will be people that have incredible stories to tell of loved ones lost or loved ones that are in the fight. And it's just going to be an amazing, amazing journey. Many of those team members are with us today. We haven't started full-blown recruiting because we wanted to be able to announce this before we did, but you can't keep something like this in the bag completely. So we have about 15 or 16 runners that are already involved with us. Like I say, many of them you see in the Above and Beyond Cancer gear here today. And now that the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, we are going to be accepting applications. And for the journeys that these gentlemen have already spoke about, the application process typically becomes 4,000, 3,000, large, large numbers that want to be part of this. And I expect the same will happen here. And so on our website, which is coasttocoastforcancer.org, there is a map and a lot of other information about what we are doing, as well as an application on there that you can fill out. It's called a $1 Million Marathon for a reason. Our goal is to raise $1 million. That's the kind of money that can really move the needle to help those people that are in the fight, to do advocacy that Above and Beyond Cancer does, all of those type of things. The idea being that each of the 160 runners will have a fundraising goal of $7,000, which gets us well over the $1 million mark, and it's my guess that many of them will go far, far beyond that. But it is not just about the money. It will be about the stories. And some of those stories I want to share with you to get an idea of the people, heroes in my estimation, that will be a part of this team. So a few of those people, Scott Mills, who is here in Des Moines. Scott is a great friend of mine. And as I prepared to go to Lake Michigan the evening of my send-off, Scott came up, gave me a big hug, and said, "You're running for me now, buddy." And he was diagnosed with leukemia and has continued to train throughout the entire experience. Incredible inspiration. Hasn't lost any hair, which has made a lot of other survivors a little jealous of how he's pulled that off. But Scott talks a little bit on his page on our website, and I want to share that with you. He says, "I run because I am in debt, a huge debt of gratitude to all those that stood in my corner. I run to pay it forward, to enable another survivor to make the journey." And there's a couple other stories I'd like to share with you while we have a little time. The next is Barbie Ritz. Barbie is a breast cancer survivor. She writes on her website, on our page, "Training didn't prepare me. A weapon, a flak jacket, and a Kevlar helmet didn't protect from this enemy. 18 years active duty, 2 combat deployments. I was diagnosed with stage 3B breast cancer after only 4 months in Afghanistan. Perseverance, endurance, determination. Giving up is not an option. I have skydived, surfed, swam, cycled, and completed 15 marathons since my diagnosis." Powerful stuff. Finally, one of our own, Kathy Winahan, who is with us here today in the yellow shirt that you see. Kathy works here at Mercy. She lives here in Des Moines. A month ago, Kathy was challenged to put down a half mile on the treadmill. She now is up to 5 miles and is signed up to run the entire 26.2. She has an artificial left knee, limited use of her left arm. So if you choose not to be a part of this, do not say it is because you can't. Kathy and all of the team members will show us that we can, that we are capable of incredible, incredible things. And so I once again want to say thank you to all of you that have come here today. I hope you will get on our website. I hope you will join the team. I have no doubts it will fill up fast. And a special thank you to Dr. Deming and Charlie Whitmack, who have allowed a dream of mine to become a reality and to serve the entire community across the nation and hopefully beyond. So thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to bring it to a close. My good friend here, Kathy. So Kathy, how long have we known each other? So maybe about 5 years as a patient doctor,
yeah.
But we've known each other walking the halls of Mercy because we both work here at Mercy. But Kathy kind of epitomizes much of what Above and Beyond Cancer is all about. It's about, you know, reaching for something above and beyond what you ever thought was possible. So when we did our first journey to Everest Base Camp, and there are other cancer survivors here that did that journey, so Kathy, her left arm doesn't work right. She's had a malignant tumor removed, and it's hard to grab a pole. Her right knee is artificial. She has really bad vision. She's deathly afraid of height, and her coordination is really poor. All the attributes you want in a mountain climbing partner. I will tell you, Kathy fell down more times than I can count when she climbed to Everest Base Camp. But she got up one more time than she fell down, and she made it to 18,000 feet. And, you know, 6 weeks after we get back from Everest Base Camp and Kathy is flying high, she comes to my office with another tumor. And it turns out to be cancer. And Kathy undergoes the third cancer surgery of her life. And it may not be the last. And Kathy is, bring it on. You know, this is life. And one of the enduring issues of cancer survivorship is no matter how many times you've been told you're cancer-free, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got a ticket for the rest of your life. You still live each day. And ultimately, if diamonds were as plentiful as grains of sand, they would be worthless. If we lived forever, it wouldn't be trivial to waste a day. But we don't live forever. And that's why today is so important. And that's why living each day and reaching for something you never dreamed possible makes you a better person. And Kathy is one of the best. And she has enriched my life. And I was so happy when she said, 26.2 miles. I better start running tomorrow. And she did. So join Kathy and join us all as we do the $1 Million Marathon to raise awareness, to raise money, to partner with other organizations to help, as my friends at the American Cancer Society would say, reduce the burden of cancer to create a world with less cancer and more birthdays. Thank you so much. And we'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Do you know when this will pass through Iowa and who will take part?
Yes. So it's starting. We got the start date, but because it's kind of nonstop as we go from the West Coast to the East Coast, we won't have the exact dates, but we plan on having ceremonies that will highlight the runners and highlight the efforts at several places across the country, in Denver, in Des Moines, and in Washington, D.C. So we'll get more information about the exact dates for those. We also, although this is divided up into 26.2-mile segments, there'll be the opportunity for each runner who's part of 26.2 to bring other runners with them to be part of their journey. We also will have the opportunity at each one of the cities that we're highlighting to have others come and run the event. Just yesterday, I saw a patient. She just turned 90 years old. She's a survivor. She has a walker, and she wants a piece of this marathon. And I can tell you, we will find the opportunity for people like her, a 90-year-old breast cancer survivor with a walker, to carry the baton and be part of this. It's not about setting a world record. It's about getting as many people as involved as possible, and there's going to be the opportunity for every one of you to have a piece of this. You know, we're about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And I don't want to really get into talking about Lance. I would tell you, though, that nobody on the planet has done more to destigmatize cancer than Lance Armstrong. And regardless of what turns out with all of the doping, I would tell you that Livestrong as an organization has served a tremendous role in this country to elevate the voice of a cancer survivor, to go from the time in the 1960s when my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer, when it was an embarrassment to have cancer, and cancer was talked about in hushed tones, to today when people will proudly claim their cancer survivorship as something that is part of their life. And Livestrong has been an important voice in elevating not just awareness and concern, but also issues of cancer survivorship. Even individuals that are cured of cancer can have ongoing lingering problems related to physical, psychosocial, and financial needs. And Livestrong has played an important role, and I think will continue to play an important role. So our purpose isn't to talk about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, but about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And the world of cancer is more than just one person. It is 1.6 million new diagnoses this year. It's 14 million cancer survivors, and those issues are real, and the organizations that speak out for cancer survivors are doing an important job, and we're happy and proud to partner with them.
How will money be raised through this event?
The primary model will be for individual runner. Thank you. Thanks, Joe. So the question was, how will money be raised for this event? And the model is that each runner that signs up for a 26.2-mile segment will take it upon themselves the responsibility to raise $7,000. And through their circle of friends and through their inspiration and their use of social media, bring others to join us. So that will be the primary model. We'll also have the opportunity for nationwide sponsors to join us and be sponsors as well. That's a great question, and I ponder that because I think that Above and Beyond Cancer is best known in Iowa, and I think that there's probably going to be more Iowans that want to run it than we have miles to run. So certainly Iowans would be allowed to pick a 26.2 segment anywhere from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean along the course. I think we also, by bringing others in, even though one person may be assigned the 26.2 miles, others can run along with them on their journey. So I would tell you that we will find a way for every single person who wants to be part of this event to be part of the event. You don't. And the cancer story is really the continuum from prevention to end of life. And we know that preventing cancer is huge. And we're talking, when we're talking preventing, we're talking about people that don't have cancer. We're talking about smoking cessation and public policy to reduce the chance that someone will start smoking, public policy that encourages people to stop smoking, public policy that encourages good nutrition, ideal body weight, and vigorous physical activity. So every one of us is in this cancer journey, whether we're there trying to prevent our own cancer, whether we're there supporting, giving care and assistance to someone who has cancer, or whether we're one of the 1.6 million next year that will be diagnosed with cancer, or one of the 14 million that are living above and beyond cancer.
Did you say how many legs?
So you asked how many legs. No, there will be more like 160 legs if you count them as 26.2-mile legs. So the idea of this being a marathon is to divide it up into marathon distances. But as I said, although there will be extraordinary people like Kathy signing up for her marathon, not in spite of her cancer, because of her cancer, because of her willingness to reach for something. She's not always wanted to run a marathon. It's this opportunity for her to demonstrate to herself and to everyone else that cancer doesn't have to define her.